reading to you from John 15, chapter 11th verse. These things have I spoken to you, that you may have joy, and it might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this evangelist, Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic, gave my heart to Christ over 55 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. And then 1 year later, God called me to preach. I've been preaching ever since. Well, seven's on its way. I went in for a pre-op yesterday, and boy, when you go in for an operation, they flat make you sign your life away, don't they? Well, that's to protect themselves so people don't sue. Because people are sue happy nowadays. They'll sue you over a hangnail. Well, the weather's beautiful. Fall's coming. But I tell you right now, God's on his throne. The world is in bad repair, but our Savior knows all about it. And if you're not saved tonight, please listen. I hope this would encourage you to come to Christ. And if you're a discouraged Christian tonight, please listen, because I think we've got something to say that would encourage you. Well, just kick off your slippers, sit back and relax, pour your glass of iced tea or a cup of coffee. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to the 14th chapter of John, and let's begin reading with the first verse. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whether I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whether thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. We've labeled this a cure for heart trouble. Now, what brought this on is my wife had a heart situation the other day, and I'll tell you right now, it kind of gave me a bump in the head. And but right now she's under medication, and hopefully we're going to get her into a cardiologist real soon. You can't get into hospitals now. The good old Obamacare is almost in effect. Well, anyway, but I want you to know, friends, there are many people who have troubled hearts today. They're troubled over the world events, and I am guilty sometimes, Luke 21:23. But woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. For there shall be a great distress in the land, and wrath upon this people, and they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall taken away to captive unto all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles, until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled, men's heart failing them for fear, and for the looking after these things which are coming on earth, for the power of the heavens shall be shaken. We're troubled today over the breakup of so many homes, and we're troubled about the moral decline in our country. And I read in Matthew 24:12, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. People are troubled about the violence that's in the world. And believe me, there's no place in the world where there hasn't been violence lately. Look over Korea. Look over in, oh, and over the, everywhere. Well, it tells us in Matthew 24:37, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that we, before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving into marriage until the day Noah entered into the ark. What can we do with troubled hearts? Well, we can take them to Jesus who cures them. Oh, you say, oh, Cecil. No, no. Now, Jesus is a cure for an unsettled heart. Listen to what it said in verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. What did he say? Let not your heart be troubled. Why were the disciples troubled? Well, and I read in John 13:21, and when Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit, and testified and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. Whoa. But what happened? But you know what happened. They were would soon be separated from Jesus in John 13:6. Peter said unto them, Lord, why can't I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. But, beloved, Peter would soon deny Jesus. Yes, he would. Peter would deny the Lord. And how could Jesus cure their unsettled hearts? One among them would fail, but Christ is always faithful. One among them would be a liar, but Christ is always true, friends. Jesus will never lie to you. Oh, beloved, this is God's infallible, this Bible is true. I've staked my salvation on it. That's right. He said that if we would repent of our sins and invite Christ into our heart, he would save us. He would write our name in the Lamb Book of Life. God won't lie. Had Jesus not come from the resurrection, if he had not come from that tomb after 3 days and three nights, we would have nothing whatsoever to preach. But he did, beloved. He came forth. Well, they would soon witness a death. But Christ, always the life. Keeping their hearts focused on Christ would bring them peace. Well, listen. This is a true today as it is in the upper room in Isaiah 26:3. That will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Well, Jesus is a cure for the uncertain heart. Why did I say that? Because he said in verse 4, and whether I go, ye know. And the way you know. Now, we Christians know the way because Jesus is the way. No other way, my beloved friends. You say, well, Cecil, I've lived a good moral life. Well, bless your heart. Another guy said, well, I've lived by the Ten Commandments. You ain't going to get there. Ten Commandments won't get you into heaven. No, it won't. Why do I say that? Because Jesus said to Nicodemus, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he will not see the kingdom of heaven. Now, you say, well, wait a minute, Cecil. My church told me that if I come forward and talk to the preacher and join their church and got baptized, I could go to heaven. Beloved, you were lied to. Unless you repented, you will not go to heaven. You cannot go to heaven. Because that's what Jesus came to do. Pay for your sins and mine. Don't you remember the two men hanging on the cross with Jesus on beside Jesus? And one of them said, if you say you're the Son of God, you've healed others, you've done this, come down off that cross and save yourself. But the other man said, man, we're here because we deserve to be. And then he turned to Jesus and said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into the kingdom. And Jesus said, from this day forth, you shall be with me in paradise. Well, friends, listen. He never heard another sermon. He never joined a church. He never got baptized. But Jesus said, I'm going to take you to heaven today. Why? Because he recognized Christ as the Lord. And that's what he is. Oh, friends, I don't know why there's so many confused theologians today in the world. It's simple, it's plain, and it costs God his only Son to give you and I this assurance and to give us eternal life. The uncertainty of eternity. Life's great question, what lies beyond the grave? Well, the question of people through the ages. Now, Christ came to answer that question forever. Verse 2. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. The minute that we are born, we begin to die. That's right. The minute we're born, we begin to die. Well, what about this mansion deal? Well, can I explain it? Sorry, can't do it. But I'll tell you one thing, beloved. It's going to be a whole heap better than anything we've ever lived in on this earth. There's not going to be any more night. There'll be no need for lights in heaven. And it's already prepared for us. We don't have to worry about, well, could I get financing to buy this house? No, the house has been purchased and paid for by the blood of Jesus. I go to prepare a place for you. And listen what else he said. I will come again and receive you unto myself. Friends, there is no longer any need to be uncertain about eternity. How many times, and anybody who's a Christian, who witnessed or did personal evangelism, when you ask someone, are you going to go to heaven when you die? Well, they start fumbling and bumbling. The other day, I was in this restaurant, and I started witnessing to this waiter. Now, friends, listen to me. A lot of people say, well, I wasn't an alcoholic like you, Cecil, so I don't have much to say. Oh, yes, you do. If you're born again, you've got a lot to say. See, God is no respecter of persons. He doesn't love me one bit more than he loves you. But then you need to sit down and say, well, of course, they always say, well, what did you do? And I tell them I used to be a drink wine and skid row with the winos. Well, what did you do? Well, my friends, I got my foot in the door. They're asking me now, what did I do? Well, it's very simple. I came to Jesus. It plain and simple, that's exactly what I did. I was sick and tired of my wayward life. The prodigal son, you know, he got his inheritance, and boy, he took off for the tulies. He went out there in the wilderness, and my wine, woman, and song. One day, he woke up completely broke and starved. Well, he got a job feeding pigs. Yes, he did. And he said in that pig pen, boy, he just about almost could eat the corn that those pigs were eating. And then it occurred to him, you know what? My father's servants are eating far better than I am. So he made a decision. That's what you need to make tonight. If you don't know Jesus and you haven't repented of your sins, this is the decision you need to make tonight. Tomorrow may be too late. None of us have a promise of tomorrow, but we have a promise that he will receive us if we come to Jesus. That's what the Bible said. No man will he'll cast out. No, sir. Well, a lot of people say, well, Cecil, you know what? There's so dab-burning many hypocrites in the church. Well, sure, there's hypocrites in the church. Where do you think they'd work? But if a hypocrite is standing between you and heaven, he is closer to God than you. Beloved, listen to me. You don't have to answer for my sins. I don't have to answer for your sins. We individually have to answer for our sins. And I'll guarantee you, my friends, everybody's going to stand before Jesus and confess that he's the Christ. Every knee shall bow, he said. Now, if you don't know Jesus, you're going to appear at the great white throne. Now, that sounds like a good place, but it's a bad place. That's where all nations and all godless men and women. You know, I saw something on TV the other day that just boiled my blood. Here's this guy, and he's asking for that $1,000 seed. And your people will all get, your family will all get saved. You'll never have any financial problems. You'll never have any sickness. And he will pour a little anointing water that he's anointed on that thousand, and you're home free. That is the biggest lie you hear. See, that's like people saying there's a different way to heaven besides Jesus. You cannot circumvent Jesus and get into heaven. Can't happen. No, no, no. Well, the Bible says that Jesus is the cure for the unsaved heart. Let's read verse 4 and 6. And whither I go, ye know, and the way you know. Thomas has said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said, I love this scripture. I am the way, not a way, the way, the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So you say, well, I'm not going to go through Jesus. I told you this story a long time ago. I got to tell it again. This roofer, I was pastoring this church in Oregon, and this woman told me about this roofer who was an alcoholic, lost his business, lost his home. Well, he sold his home and then threw his wife out. And now he went out and he spent all that money, and when he was broke, woke up with a hangover, he called his wife and said, honey, I need you. And she come running back to him. Oh, what a mess. Well, so I went in there, and I sat down, and I said, sir, I'm a preacher, but I didn't come to preach to you. I come to share with you what happened to me. See, and I've said before, and you've heard me say, I'm not running around the country telling people what Cecil's doing for Jesus. I'm telling people what Jesus did for Cecil. Okay. So, one thing led to another. Excuse me. I told this loofer what happened to me, and he sat there, yes, with tears in his eyes, and he said, you know, Cecil, that's a beautiful story. It really, really is. And I want everything that you have, but I don't want Jesus to get it. I said, son, you will never get it. And to my knowledge, you never did. I'll tell you about a person. He was a deacon in a church there in Oregon and in Portland. And he was taking this guy who professed, said he was an atheist, didn't believe in God. But he took him to church every Sunday. And the guy seemed interested. And so the deacon bought him a beautiful Thompson Chain Reference Bible and gave it to him. And This one Sunday morning, they went to church, and I guess the Holy Spirit got all over this alcoholic or this guy. And when he got to the door, this is what he did. He took the Bible and ripped it in two and threw it down to the preacher's feet and said, "I don't believe one word you said," and walked out. Well, now you would think that it'd be a little lightning dropping down from heaven, wouldn't you? But no. This deacon went back to this man's home that afternoon and pled with him and begged with him to come to church one more time. And he came to church that night and got gloriously, gloriously saved. Oh, my stars. Thomas said, "How can we know the way?" That's a good question. How can we know the way? Well, Jesus said, "I am the way." But Thomas didn't want to miss out on heaven. He wanted to be with Jesus forever. And he wanted to get in on those mansions. See, Thomas kind of expected a path, but he got a person, Jesus. What did he say? Let's repeat this together. "I am the way, the truth, and the life." The only way that you're ever going to get into heaven. Oh, friends, listen. Jesus meets the heart needs of every sinner. The way, reconciliation for the estranged. The truth, illumination for the mind darkened by sin. You know, sin is just, this is what sin is. I know people think, my wife used to think, drinking, cussing, and smoking was the only sin in the world. Because she did not do those things, she was not a sinner. And I know another lady listening to the broadcast. Why, she lived a good life. She was a good little girl. Boy, I tell you, she went to church and they had all their Sunday school pins and everything. But one day they were confronted by the Holy Spirit of God that they were, in fact, sinners. Lost, hell-bound, doomed, damned sinners. And guess what happened? When they repented of their sins, God forgave their sins, just like he will do for you tonight if you will come to Jesus and become as a little child. The life, regeneration for the one dead in sin. Jesus said in Revelation 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me." Oh, friends, do you have heart trouble tonight? Are you sorry for your wayward life and your sinful life? I've got a solution. Won't you come to Jesus tonight? Won't you come to him and say, "Lord, I know that maybe Cecil is right. Maybe I am a sinner." No, Cecil's not right. The Bible is right. You know, preachers can make mistakes. Boy, I do. Fact of the matter is, if you were to ask me, "Cecil, have you always done what God wanted you to do?" I wished I could say I had, but I haven't. But I'll tell you right now, when we make a mistake or if we sin, we need to tell him. Just confess it. And say, "Lord, forgive me." And he said he would. He said, "Confess your sins," and he is faithful and just to forgive all sins. No, you're not too wretched a sinner to come to Jesus. No, you're not. So I'm going to ask you to bow your head to me right now if the Spirit of God is tugging at your heart. And I want you to pray this powerful prayer. Don't you pray it unless you mean it. Don't mean it unless you mean it. Kind Heavenly Father, I confess that I'm a sinner. Lord Jesus, I'm so sorry for my wayward life, and tonight I'm opening my heart and receiving you as my personal Lord and Savior in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, you get on the phone and call 303-471-8534. I'll not use your name on the air. I'll not embarrass you. I'll surely not sit down and write and ask you for any money. Don't care where you go to church. I'm only concerned where you spend eternity. 303-471-8534. I've been doing this on radio for over 40 years, begging and pleading with men and women. Tonight might be your last call. 303-471-8534. Well, friends, for the past half hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe. Dear friends, I'd sure love to tell you what Jesus is doing today. I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, the smartest man, but oh, friends, I will never forget that morning 55 years ago when I cried out, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And he came into my heart and he saved me and wrote my name in the Lamb Book of Life. And then a year later, God called me to preach. I've been sober ever since, thanks to be to God. He even delivered me from tobacco, which is hard for your body. Well, friends, I want you to pray for my operation the 7th. I want you to stay sweet. Keep looking up for this wonderful, wonderful Jesus. It's coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.